Joining in the family fun is Alex Newton here, just a sort of neighbour popping in from next door, eyeing us with some suspicion, I think. Alex is a chiropractor. Hello.
Good afternoon, Alan.
You keep coming back, so it can't be that bad. And I thought we'd talk this time about going on holiday. Earlier on, I was talking about holidays. I think this is the time of year some people would like to book their summer holiday sort of straight after Christmas, but others get to about this point of the year and then they've had enough. I've got to book a holiday. And you want to be in fine form. You don't want to get off on your holiday somewhere and then find you can't move. And, I mean, there are various things. Travel, basically, is blooming uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I've had the fortunate, been in the fortunate position of actually travelling quite a lot recently. So from personal experience, yes, you realise actually I've been on trains and planes and trams and buses and all sorts of various amounts of transportation. And actually, the seats just don't fit you, do they? The tram seat doesn't fit and the plane seat doesn't fit.
How is it that's designing transport systems? They are obviously very small, or they've got quite a nasty streak to them.
I mean, I'm quite average height, but I would think anybody that's either much taller than me or even smaller than me would struggle with their posture on trains. Yeah. And it makes you, I mean, I don't have, touch wood, any back issues, but even my back was aching after extended periods of travel and over those periods of time when I've been travelling.
It's my knees that I have trouble with, and I noticed it on the train on the way in, just the little local train from Newark to Nottingham this morning was one where the seats were sufficiently close together that if I sat in the seat, I couldn't really have my knees in front of me. I had to swivel slightly to fit in. And I was thinking, well, this is okay. I've got my knees now not pressing against a hard plastic surface. That's a bit more comfortable. But I have just twisted around in my seat.
And it's the same in the tram. I travelled on the tram last week, and there you're sitting knee to knee with the person opposite you. And it's a bit awkward because not only do you not want to touch knees, really, but actually you do then want to sit in that twisted position. And as we've talked before, if that pelvis is twisting for any length of time, because you can be on there sort of 20 minutes, half an hour, at a time, and you're sitting in that twisted position, that's a bit of a recipe for issues with regards to your low back and pelvis.
Is there any answer to this apart from buying expensive tickets so you get a bit more leg room?
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
But, I know some flights offer like a premium economy or something like that. They say you get a bit of extra leg room.
Leg room. Well, getting up, trying not to do anything for any extended period of time, getting up and moving around through the flight, even if it's only a couple of hours, if you've got the opportunity to dodge through the cabin assistants around their trolleys and just go and walk down to the back of the plane and do some stretching and that sort of thing. So perhaps choose an aisle seat when you're booking. Same with on a train, you know, choose an aisle seat, although my recent experience of trains wasn't great because the train was so full, people were standing. So it would be nice if they actually put a few more carriages on when, so you have actually got room to walk up and down. But, you know, try not to sit there for extended periods of time. Wriggling about in your seat is always good. Sort of neck and shoulders as well as the low back could do with some just sort of side bending and stretching. But again, if you've not got enough room or you're sitting in the middle between two other people, you know, you might be quite restricted there. So just try and pre-plan where you're going to sit on the train and see if you can get that extra leg room or in the aisle seat so you can get up and move about more frequently.
What about the neck pillows that encourage people to sort of have a nap with their neck to one side? I'm doing it for you now.
Well, that looked quite painful, actually.
Yes, I'm regretting that now.
I mean, they're better than not having anything at all.
All right. Yeah.
But my more concern that I have these days is the fact that you notice on planes and things, everybody sits with their iPad or their phone that they've got a movie on, which is great because it sort of entertains you and keeps the journey feeling a little bit shorter. But your head is right down, chin onto your chest, looking at that screen. So perhaps be aware of that and put your bag or cabin luggage on the tray in front of you so that your screen is raised a little bit higher so that you're not dropping the head down extended periods of time. But yes, when you're sleeping on the trains and on the aeroplanes, those cushions, neck cushions, we always advise that people take extra bits of cushion to, and in the low back as well, to just to get that in the right place. But even just a jumper or something like that, just strategically placed in the nape of the neck or in the small of the back, will help maintain those curves of the spine, reduce muscle tightness and tension, and stop you having that ricked neck or sore back feeling when you get there.
There are a range of different sorts of neck pillows these days, from sort of inflatable types to donut-shaped ones with a hole in the middle to the U-shaped ones. I guess it's a question of trying to work out, you know, individually what's the best for you.
And I've seen there's a gadget that sort of, I don't know where you attach it, but then there's a like the donut where you actually sleep face forward on the plane. Have you seen one of those
I've
recently?
I've heard about this, because we did actually do a little phone in the other week about how do you stay comfy on a long trip, which sort of ties in a bit with what you're saying. And somebody talked about this idea of a thing you put on the tray in front of you on the seat
and lean forward,
and then just, but then somebody else pointed out they're not as good as they appear, because they do attract the dribble, basically.
Oh dear.
Yeah,
that's not good, not a good look.
So anyway, thoughts there from Alex on avoiding aching joints after a long plane or train journey. Other things to consider: jet lag, going too far when you're on your holiday with your expectations of physical activity, and also with gadgets galore for your kids, what do they need to be aware of when you go on your holidays? Are all things that Alex will talk with you about in the course of the next quarter of an hour. Talking about travel and staying comfy and making sure that you can really enjoy your holiday after a journey, Alex Newton, the chiropractor from Beeston, is here. And a long journey on a plane, likely to cause jet lag if you're going east or west. If you're going north or south, it doesn't seem to matter, because you don't go across time zones, does it?
Same time zone, that's right.
So that's okay. But if you go east or west, is there a worse way of travelling, east or west?
I think they think it's going west is supposed to be worse, isn't it? Yeah, I don't go east. Oh, do I go east very often? I don't know. No, don't go too far away. But that's
And I think I'm not a greatly travelled person, but the thing that strikes me is that there is obviously the change in time zones and your body clock and trying to adjust all that. But there's also the sheer excitement and displacement of going on holiday will tend to interrupt your sleep patterns anyway.
Yes, and the other thing we have to be aware of is usually when we go on holiday, it's because we're exhausted, and those that build up to that time, trying to get everything packed up at work and getting, you know, working very long hours before you go just so that you can clear your desk ready to go away is quite critical as to whether you can actually cope with jet lag and things like that. So, you know, make sure that you do sort of try and slow down a little bit and get some decent sleep before you go away, because your ability to tolerate that change with time zones and things is less favourable if you are exhausted before you even go. And of course, that's why we go on holiday, because we know we're going to be exhausted at that time. So, but really, my rule is always to set your clock for your destination, set your watch for your destination, and think about what they're doing in that destination as well. So, you know, is it first thing in the morning? Is it late at night? And try and get your body rhythm into a whatever's happening there. So if it's first thing in the morning there, you really don't want to be going to sleep. You want to be trying to stay awake so that you are a little bit more sleepy when you get there, etc., etc. And there's various ways that you can do that. And one is all about food. So what meal will you be having at what time of day is really important. So for example, I had a trip a couple of years ago to Canada, and it was a night flight. And obviously, Canada are sort of 5 or 6 hours behind. Getting on the plane at 10 o'clock at night, which potentially is what, 3 o'clock in the morning UK time, and they're serving dinner. Well, actually, you know what? I don't eat a meal at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I forfeited my meal, had a nice soft drink, not a an alcoholic drink, which would have been normally tempting. But again, 3 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't probably do that. Put the lights down, try and get some sleep as soon as possible. And then as soon as it was, you know, we were sort of coming in to land, wake up, lots of hydration with lots of water, perhaps a banana, get myself up, go and clean my teeth, have a wash, and sort of pretend that it's actually, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning in the UK. And quite quickly, my body got back into UK time. So think about what's happening in your destination, and make sure that you, you know, abide by whatever's going on there. And that will help you much quicker get back into the routine of and not spoil your holiday for getting out there, or even coming back, trying to get back to work when your jet lag is pretty miserable.
Yeah, well. I mean, there was a physical side to jet lag, obviously, with changing time zones, but also a mental side to it. And you're saying that you can conquer a lot of that by basically putting yourself in the right time zone as soon as the journey starts.
The right frame of mind, yeah. Yes. And keeping well hydrated. We're not very good. And the air conditioning on aeroplanes obviously dehydrates us as well. So that's really important to be aware of. And what you eat as well, you can sort of choose your food quite carefully. So if you want to be alert and awake when you get there, eating lots of protein is good at keeping you awake and sustaining some energy there, sort of long burning energy. Whereas if you really want to be asleep when you get there, sort of a little bit of overindulgent in some carbohydrates, that obviously makes you a bit sleepier as well. So you can sort of play the game a little bit.
Right. But that does mean eating airline food, which may or not be great. Once there, you'll look around and say, oh, look, we can go paragliding, we can go water skiing. There's the jet ski. I'm assuming it's a seaside holiday you're having. There is that temptation to have a go on everything if you possibly can. Dangers lurk there, though.
Yes, and it's not just those elaborate activities as well. It can be just the ordinary ones, the fact you sort of going and doing swimming every day and things like that. If you're not used to doing all of those things, then we've got to be a little bit more mindful, a little bit more cautious. So make sure you know what you're doing before you embark on the activity, you know what the rules are and the best way to play things so that you're not subjected to any injuries and things like that. Make sure you warm up first, and that's not just lots of stretching, that's actually getting your heart pumping and your respiratory system pumping so that you get blood flowing to the muscles so that they don't they're not cold. I mean, in a warm country you're going to be relatively warm anyway, but you still need to get the circulation going. That reduces the risk of pulling muscles and straining joints. So but not stretching, stretch afterwards, particularly if you've done something that you're not used to doing for a while. Stretch afterwards rather than before, because we want to keep those joints nice and stable, so you reduce the risk of straining the joints there. Little things like, you know, because you sort of perhaps with the grandchildren or the children and you want to go and play football or lots of tennis and that sort of thing, and they're a bit relentless, aren't they, when they're little? there's plenty of energy in there and they want to go on and on and on and do it again and again. And you know, you've got to pace yourself, particularly if you're not used to it. There's always that thought, is, oh, I used to do this when I was your age and I'm going to pick it up again. But actually, I've not done that activity for 30, 40, 50 years. So just be mindful of that you really do need to warm up first and you know, stretch and cool down afterwards, and don't overdo it. Pace yourself.
We'll talk about looking after other people on your holiday. If you're taking some children or maybe an older relative, what should you think about to ensure that they have as good a time as possible without any aching joints getting in the way? Some thoughts on that with Alex Newton, Beeston Chiropractor. Give me some good tips on staying supple, lithe and pain-free when you go on your holiday. It's not too long till summer holidays will be along. Now, a warning sounded from you, Alex, about the use of technology gadgets that can really impact on necks and backs when travelling. But you're saying that actually perhaps you need to think about this now, even before you go. Think about how you sit and use your keypads and smartphones.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, whether you're sitting on the train or the plane, if you've got your iPad set up with your favourite film on there, really sort of just make sure it's more supported. Think about maintaining that curve in the nape of the neck there. Having your head right down for extended periods of time is going to pull on the muscles at the base of the skull. And when you actually come back up to the upright position, that's when you tend to find that you get a lot of neck pain and headaches. And sometimes it's not till the next day that you realise that you've actually traumatised it, when you've then been subjected to perhaps a different bed or a different pillow or whatever overnight, and then you wake up the next morning and your neck's really quite stiff. So just be wary of that. So ideally sit with your hands up so that your arms get tired quicker, and then you realise actually it's time I stopped looking at my screen here. But if you can prop up your screen a little bit higher so that you have got that curve in the nape of the neck, that will help substantially.
When away on holiday, should we take the lessons of carry-on camping and do a little bit of stretching exercise first thing in the morning? You're looking at me like thunder there. Have you seen carry-on camping?
Yes, I am that old, yeah. yes, I think that would be a very good idea. I mean, certainly that's my favourite time to get up and exercise. And if I'm on holiday, and particularly in a hotel that's quite active with all these sort of yoga, saluting the sun in the morning and things like that, I tend to try and get up and join those classes, although they are often at an ungodly hour. hour. But that's a great way to start the day, to get you nice and supple and warmed up, and mind and body and soul, to get you started for the day.
If you're travelling with family, maybe you've got some younger members of the family and older members of the family. If you take charge before you go and say, "And I know you're all going to complain, but I want us all to get together first thing in the morning by the pool in the hotel courtyard or wherever it is. And we're all going to do 5-10 minutes of a little bit of keep fit." If you plant the seed, maybe, then you can get everybody to do it.
You don't travel with teenagers, do
No,
you?
I don't. See, I've got no idea what I'm talking about, have I?
We don't see teenagers before midday. In fact, they often miss lunch and breakfast and just arrive for lunch, which is sort of a bit of a brunch for me. But no, I think it's every man to himself, really. But if you've got someone that will buddy up with you and go and do the salute to the sun or whatever it needs to be first thing in the morning, that wherever the sun is, that's a really great idea. But keeping the children active, the thing is, the temptation about being on holiday is that, you know, they haven't got the ordeal of going to school, so they sneak away with their iPads and hide away in their in their bedrooms with their PlayStations and Xboxes and things, and the time drifts because you're not clock watching quite as much as they want you to. And so just be aware that, try and get them to be quite disciplined, limit the time that they're on the PlayStations, and then get them out there in the garden, on the trampoline, on the bikes, going out for walks. There's some beautiful walks around the woods and things, and, you know, make it interesting, make it a bit of an excitement thing to do. There's lots of things out there, but get them away from those screens. Some fresh air and exercise would be great.
Good advice, as ever, from Alex Newton, the Beeston chiropractor. Thanks for popping in to see us. I think we'll be talking with you again before summer holiday season is upon us. But let's give a few thoughts, and maybe you'll start working on some of the ideas that Alex has given you to ensure that your holiday is as successful as it can be. Thank you so much. See you soon. Cheers.
Thank you, Alan.